Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here on this Getaway Friday, September the 10th, 2021. 21 minutes past the hour. How about that? Now, we have got a guest coming up this morning at 8:30, so it's going to be hard to get into what I want to get into here. We've had great guests all week, and by the way, I want to thank Mayor Jack Kellogg for coming on yesterday. I love that man dearly. He has been very good to me for many, many years now. In fact, my entire broadcast career, when I came into broadcasting here in Marion, he was the mayor, and I had a great run with him. And I'm glad he still comes in and shares his thoughts on things. So I thank Mayor Kellogg for coming in, and I know a lot of people yesterday were very happy to hear from Mayor Kellogg. And he looked good. He seemed good, and we're glad he got over. He told us yesterday that he had had a bout of cancer in the last year, but he's doing well. He's pushed his way through it, and looked good yesterday. So we're happy to hear that from Mayor Kellogg. Now, like I say, I've only got 9 minutes before our first guest is coming on. Now, we don't have a lot of guests scheduled this morning, so we're going to do a lot of talking, and we're going to have some fun, too, with Popcorn Festival Trivia, because I think that's always a lot of fun. So we're going to do that, and we're going to give away some stuff, because we haven't done that in a while, so stay tuned for that as soon as we're done with our first guest this morning. But there are just some things that I want to talk about, and they are all editorializing. It's my opinion, and I'm telling you that beforehand, before we get into it. But I want to hear your opinions as well, so you can always hit me up here at 740-383-9944. But we're going to talk about them because there are just some things I don't understand. Now, I will not mean to be critical in these opinions, but take it for what you want as the morning goes on. So we'll get into that after our first guest. Now, one good thing I'm going to talk about this morning. Yesterday, as many of you know, I like doing this job. I've liked being in broadcasting for 20 years now. But what I'm just fascinated with broadcasting. I'm fascinated with Marion broadcasting. I'm fascinated with Ohio broadcasting. I like national broadcasting too, but those are the two main things that I'm most fascinated with. It sounded like my mic took a dive there. Okay, hopefully that fixed the problem. But I'm just highly fascinated. Now, yesterday, I went to an estate sale. And to be honest with you, I don't know if I've ever been to an estate sale in my life. I don't remember it if I ever did. But yesterday, I went to an estate sale. And I was just looking over one of the tables at the estate sale. And it was kind of interesting. Now, why is my mic acting up this morning all of a sudden? What an odd thing. I bet you somebody was messing with the knobs yesterday. That's just how it goes around here some mornings. Okay, hopefully that sounds better and holds up for us. So yesterday I go to this estate sale, and I'm just looking at one of the tables, and there are these two green glasses that are on the table. And it immediately catches my eye because green is my favorite color. So I go over and I look at these green glasses, and there are pictures on them, which is kind of different, because it's not cartoons. It's pictures of real people. And I'm trying to figure out, well, who are these real people on these glasses? Then I started to look, and there are autographs all over the glasses. So I start reading some of the names on the glasses. And it's Willie Thal and Bonnie Lou. And when I came to the name Bonnie Lou, I knew exactly what these glasses were, because Bonnie Lou Maybe we'll play this morning because I believe it's in the public domain. But Bonnie Lou, she did a lot of hit songs. She was based in Cincinnati, Ohio till the day she died. But Bonnie Lou was a country, back then they called it country and western performer on WLW, the nation station out of Cincinnati, television and radio. And Bonnie Lou did a song called The Tennessee Wig Walk, really probably the first line dance there ever was. So I see Bonnie Lou's signature on this glass among like 10 or 12 others. And I know what this is now. This is the Ruth Lyon Show, the legendary Ruth Lyon Show out of Cincinnati. And the pictures on the cups are of people on the Ruth Lyon Show, and the signatures are of people on the Ruth Lyon Show. So I immediately bought these cups. I think they were $2 a piece or $2 for both of them or something like that. But now here's the thing about it. I don't know who the pictures are of on the cup because I don't think it's Willie Thal. He's probably the most famous male. I don't know who this picture is on the cup. Maybe later on I'll bring the cups out here and I'll read some of the names and I'll kind of describe what the guy looks like. And I'm not sure if it's Ruth on this cup, Ruth Lyons. Now I know what Ruth looks like, but it's a woman and she has kind of blondish curly hair, so I don't know if it's Ruth or not. But what's interesting is I did not know items like this existed in the history of Ohio broadcasting. So now I'm fascinated with this, because you know we had Ruth Lyons down in Cincinnati. We had Dorothy Fulltime, who was my personal favorite up in Cleveland. We had Sally Flowers down in Columbus, and actually she did a stint in Marion in the late 1970s. We had Easter Straker over in Lima. We had Madge Cooper, of course, here in Marion. We had a lady named Helen Zelkowitz over in Mount Vernon. And these were kind of the women who did broadcasting in Ohio. And I love these items because last Christmas I went to a lot of thrift and antique shops, and I think I've now got all of the Ruth Lyons records, Christmas albums. Now, I think the reason that Ruth Lyons was maybe commercialized more than any of other of these women that I've already talked about, I think is because Ruth was not a news person. You know, Madge and Dorothy and Easter Straker and Helen Zelkowitz were really more news people. Sally Flowers wasn't news, but the others were. And Ruth sang on her show, and she wrote songs, and she did stuff like that. It was more of a variety show, and I think maybe that's why they marketed that show more than they did some of these other women. But I find this stuff fascinating, so if you ever have any of this stuff that you do not want anymore, we will proudly display it here in the studio, and that goes for any Marion broadcaster as well. Madge Cooper, Charlie Evers are the two that always come to mind here in Marion, but if you have anything unique that pertains to Charlie Evers or Madge Cooper, send it here to the studio. We will be glad to display that with great acumen. But it was great to go to that estate sale yesterday and pick up those Ruth Lyons commemorative glasses, and I'll get those out later on, and maybe we can figure out who is on these cups by me describing who they are. But we're going to be switching gears here this morning and go to our first guest who has graciously agreed to join us here this morning because there is a lot going on, and I've heard a lot of rumors the last few weeks, and I'll just lay this out for you a little bit here. As many of you know, before the school year started, just a few weeks ago, it seems like it's been longer than that, but it was just a few weeks ago, Marion City School Superintendent Dr. Ron Arusi said that Marion City Schools were going to have a mask mandate, and that is still in place as far as I know. And then school started and the four county schools did not have a mask mandate, and about 2 weeks in there were a lot of It's kind of gobbledygook because the problem in the county schools is twofold. River Valley and Ridgedale in particular, those are the ones I'll speak to because those are the ones I've got most information on, is that people were coming down with COVID, but it was also the quarantining of so many people because they weren't wearing masks that was causing a huge problem at the schools. So as of this past Tuesday, River Valley now has a mask mandate, just like Marion City, and so does Ridgedale. And I believe there's also one in Pleasant Elementary at this point. I don't think that has went to the whole school, and we really haven't heard much about Elgin at this point, but if we do, we'll let you know. So that's how that all went down. And that's where we are right now. But a lot of kids are still missing school. We got a report recently that a lot of kids have been absent. And a lot of this is believed to be COVID-19. And in general, we just want to know how the school year is going. We have this pandemic going on. It's really the first time back 5 days a week. How's everything going? So the person we turn to for that is the Marion City School Superintendent, Dr. Ron Arusi, who joins us this morning. Dr. Arusi, how are you?
I'm great, Scott. Hope you're doing well. And thanks for giving me the opportunity to speak about what's happening in school these days. So appreciate you.
Yeah, well, I thank you for calling in on a day where the kids are not in school, the students are not in school. But want to start just with the pandemic before we get into the academics. Somebody yesterday said something like 300 kids were absent in the Marion City School District. Is this rumor or is this fact?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what the number is in our absentees within the entire school district. That's could be very possible. We are seeing an increase, as you're seeing across the country, in some of the other infections, not necessarily all COVID related. I was just talking to a parent this morning who has four children in the schools, and two of them are out with strep. So I think that there is, you know, some concern over the other infections also that are prevalent in the school. But as far as COVID is concerned, you know, we have probably I haven't checked the dashboard today, but I know 2 weeks ago we were averaging about anywhere from 12 to 13, 14 cases per day with our students, which, you know, we didn't see any of that last year. And again, this is not due to some internal spread. It's definitely community related, and so students are being infected outside of school. But of course, when they do come to school and we get a positive case, then we have to do our contact tracing. And Scott, the mask mandate has drastically reduced the amount of quarantines that we would have had if we weren't, with a mask mandate. But we still had some issues within the school, especially around lunch. You know, when students are eating, obviously they're not wearing masks. The quarantine order that's in effect through the Marion Public Health Department requires that if a student is within 6 feet for 15 minutes, then they are required to quarantine. And so we had to make some adjustments along the way, particularly around lunch. Many of our buildings kind of added a lunch period, or, you know, we're allowing students to eat in the classroom. Just, you know, our main goal is to keep as many kids in school as possible. And, you know, I'm thankful that we did have the mask mandate to keep some kids in school. But we're still not, you know, we're still fighting the battle every day, Scott. It is a pandemic that is affecting our kids and our staff members. You know, obviously we're seeing breakthrough cases of staff members that have been vaccinated that are confirmed positive cases. So you know, we're still learning and battling every day with this pandemic. But I am pleased that, you know, we got school off to a good start. We're about 4 weeks in. Just decided that our kids are actually in school today. So we made a change to that because of the amount of school that we've missed and trying to lengthen the school year. So Marion City Schools students are in class.
Oh, they are in school today.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Oh, okay. You know, I noticed the lines were longer this morning at some restaurants on the way here, so I thought, well, maybe they are in school today.
That's typically a good indication, yes.
That is. You can always tell the difference in the fast food lines in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
One more thing about this COVID-19. As numbers continue to rise all across the state, I believe at this point the entire state is red. I don't think there's a county that's not. Right. That hasn't happened for some time. The numbers continue to rise here in Marion. I believe we're close to 700 in a two-week reporting period. And again, that runs 2 weeks behind, so we're not even sure where it is now. Popcorn Festival kicked off last night. It's as busy as ever. That's something students and parents like to go to. Typically not an event for the elderly. What do you think it's going to be like in 2 weeks?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. You know, the history of this virus is, you know, those kind of events, tend to increase the amount of confirmed cases. We are definitely concerned about that, and hopefully we don't see as much, but we are certainly prepared for that. I don't think there's any question, though, that we will probably see an increase in the amount of cases within the next couple weeks.
And final question on this, because I do think this is very important. The decision was made by Marion City before the school year started to do a mask mandate. Yeah. And you guys took a lot of heat for that in the press and from parents. I mean, I was at one of those school board meetings. Yep. And as the year progressed, about 10 days in, I don't want to say they were forced into it, but certainly, I think somebody can make a case that River Valley and Ridgedale were forced into it because they did not want to do it at the beginning of the year. But cases got so high with quarantining that they would have to do because of no mask that they both now have mask mandates. Yeah. Does that surprise you?
Well, you know, and we've talked about this, Scott. I mean, it's very hard to compare the county school districts at times with Marion City because of the amount of students we have. I mean, we have more students at our middle school than Ridgedale has in their entire school district. So, you know, it's difficult to say, you know, the amount of spacing and the amount of students that we have is the same. We were certainly, from the beginning, we had already seen cases that were alarming in August with some of our student athletes. And so we kind of had a good indication that this might be a different year in relation to the amount of students that were confirmed cases. Again, you know, we are fortunate, and I think we've made the right decision because of the amount of cases that we saw from the beginning of the year. I don't think any of us expected to see, you know, the amount of cases amongst children because we just didn't see that last year. But that's the biggest difference with this Delta variant is the way that it is affecting and infecting children. And so, you know, that's the case. And I think probably the county school districts have also seen an increase in the amount of their cases, which, again, is all related to quarantine. That was one of the reasons, one of the main reasons why we decided to have a mask mandate, you know, when the mask mandate or when the quarantine orders came out, you know, any students in a classroom can sit 3 feet apart. And if there's a confirmed case, as long as they're wearing masks, the students around them do not have to be quarantined. If you're not wearing a mask, then you have to be quarantined. And so, you know, we would either have had to go back to our hybrid model and make sure kids were 6 feet apart with only half the kids there, which was, you know, certainly not in the best interest of our students. We saw the impact of what that did on learning for our students. And again, so our goal is we need to keep our students in school 5 days a week as much as possible. And we're fortunate. We're still seeing quarantines, which is unfortunate, but we have greatly limited that because of mask wear.
Do you think, because something this time, there are two things that I have noticed being out and about in Marion that I have never noticed during the entire run of this pandemic, but I've noticed in the last month. Number one is I am hearing more about positive cases than ever before, and a lot in younger people. That I had not heard until recently. And number two, the thing that I have noticed is that, yes, schools, because I think that is one of the mandates that the state still has there about quarantining, which is what forced a lot of this mask wearing in some school districts in Ohio. But we can't stop what people are doing outside of school. You know, the popcorn festival goes on, the grocery stores are open, the department stores are open, sports are being played, and the numbers continue to rise. Is it possible that no change in the way the school day is going can happen, or is it inevitable that if we don't change something, it's going to happen?
That's a good question, Scott. And, you know, again, I think we, you know, even go back to this past July, the last week in July, we were seeing, what, 3 cases a week or a day, maybe, in Marion. I had no idea that we were going to be faced with this again. I hope that we do not have to go back to a hybrid model, but we are prepared to do so. I mean, we definitely have some better solutions to that in place, because we learned so much from last year. I hope that we don't have to, but and again, one of the things I think we are continuing to see, and hopefully, yes, kids are getting sicker. We're noticing that there are more symptoms related to COVID amongst our children, whereas last year, many of our students were asymptomatic. So even the confirmed cases were asymptomatic, but I think that's going to be a determining factor. If we start to see kids in the hospital, then we're going to have to make some adjustments. But I think at this point, from everything that I've read, and, you know, kids, yes, they're getting sicker and we're seeing symptoms, but I don't know that, you know, it's having that much of a profound effect on students. Obviously, those students that have no other health conditions, yes, they're getting symptoms, but I don't think they're getting as sick as some of the adults. So I think that will be the determining factor, Scott, is if we start to see kids with more symptoms and hospital cases for kids on the rise, we're going to have to make some changes.
And we're going to move right on to the academics here, but the thing that I have heard from most people, and they're kind of talking about this in silence in almost a way, is that our vaccination rate as of today sits at 43% in Marion, still hasn't moved a whole lot from where it was in the beginning of summer, and the big fear is not that everybody's life is not as important as somebody else's is, of course it is, but nobody wants it on their hands to have the first child die. We're seeing this through the state, that when children are dying, it's awful, and it is happening now. And it wasn't happening, certainly not to this degree, at any other time during this pandemic. And I don't think any school district wants that on them, to have been the school district that lost a student to this, because people see this as preventable. It's not a car crash. It's not cancer. It's not that it didn't have to happen. Is that a concern?
Oh, my God, yes. It's a concern every day, Scott. I mean, that, you know, any student that, you know, and I've been in, you know, in my 33 years and 18 years as a superintendent, unfortunately, I have experienced, you know, when a student passes away unexpectedly or expectedly. It's just devastating. It takes you a long time to get over that, you know, especially when it is preventable. And that happens to a student. You know, those are the kinds of things that keep you up at night, and those are the reasons, again, that I think, you know, we get some frustration as school leaders, because we're at a point that, you know, our health officials have got to really weigh in and tell us, you know, what we should be doing to keep our kids safe. I mean, there's guidelines and things like that we're following, and we're trying to do the best we can. But, yeah, you know, I don't want to wake up any morning with the news that one of our students, you know, was in that much in grave danger as a result of anything, let alone this virus. So, yeah, that is certainly a concern. I hope and pray that that doesn't happen to any of our students. And I would encourage, again, you know, our entire community to consider that and really, really think about that and what that, you know, effect would be on a family and their friends and the school in general. But that's just a plea from our part, is to really, really think about that and consider that. And if this vaccine can protect our kids and our families, we need to do everything we can to promote that.
And just a little update for the community. We had Dr. Gingrich on from the hospital, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and right now they are seeing so many people test positive that they are sending out these samples, these tests to Columbus to figure out if it, because there are so many breakthrough cases right now. I think it's up to 15% in Marion County of people who have been vaccinated, and they're not sure if it's because of the Delta variant or if we have mutated again. And that's a very scary thing for a lot of people.
It is. You know, most of our staff has been vaccinated here. As you know, the educators were in that group one. We are actually eligible here in a month or two, I believe. It will be 8 months from the last time we had our vaccine, our second dose. And so, you know, we'll do everything we can. If the booster is made available to us and that's proven to be effective, you know, then we'll do everything we can again to get our staff and our eligible students vaccinated.
Have any teachers, educators, people who work in the building who are, you know, 50 years of age and older expressed concern that possibly they don't want to be there at this particular point?
You know, our staff has done a really good job. I mean, I think they understand and appreciate the fact that Marion City Schools is doing as much as we possibly can to mitigate the spread. The vaccine is available, you know, those kinds of things. Our staff, both our certified and classified staff, have really done a good job. Nobody's, you know, basically said, we don't want to be here. I think all of our staff really appreciate the fact that the kids are back in school. We had more energy. Our convocation this year was just incredible. Our staff was just really, excited about having our students back in class. I can tell you that across the board in my visits in the buildings, that first week of school was just awesome to see the amount of interaction between our teachers and students, again, having them back in class. So, you know, there's always that fear, Scott, I think, but I'll credit our staff for really being as resilient as they have been to try to do whatever we can to get through this together.
Now, being back in school this year, it's more normal than it was last year. Have teachers and people in the school started to see the effects of being out of school for a year and a half, or at least hybrid models?
Oh, absolutely. They're, you know, across the state, if you look at evidence based on the different assessments that we do across the state, there is probably about an 18 to 19% decrease in test scores. And so, you know, I don't think anybody doubts that that's a COVID effect. The effect of students not being in the classroom and really having to shift to remote learning. I think in our test scores this year, we saw about a 14% decrease. So, definitely seeing that effect. But we have a plan in place this year where we use some software to really compile that data for each student. And our teachers then are looking at how we can develop plans for individual students to get them as much back up to speed as we possibly can. And so that plan was worked on all summer, and our teachers are already engaged in that and really done a lot of assessments at the beginning of the year to see where our kids are at compared to where they should be at grade level. And so, we're really working hard to do whatever we can to make sure our kids have the interventions that they need to get them back up to speed.
What is the attitude of the students right now to be back 5 days a week and be back to as regular at this point as we're going to get?
Well, I'll give you an example. At our first home game on Friday night, first of all, since I've been here in Marion, I've never seen the stands that packed, but the student section was, you know, from the an entire section from the track all the way up to the top next to our band was really incredible to see. And just, again, to see how much fun the students were having at the game and being back together is, you know, really what that part of school, when you talk about that social emotional learning, those experiences and having our students, you know, express themselves and that joy of being together and cheering for their school and their team, and after the game, the football players went up into the stands and appreciated the students. I mean, those are the kinds of things that are a good indication that our students are happy to be back in school. You know, there's certainly those students out there that we that have some fears about, you know, being back in school amidst the pandemic. But I think for the most part, our kids are really happy to be back, to get back to some sense of normalcy.
What's the biggest lesson you have learned in regard to education because of this pandemic?
Wow. You know, I think what we've learned over the year and a half, too, is that, you know, I guess taking a look at the individual needs of students and looking at multiple ways to make sure we address their needs is something that we've always talked about. But since we were really forced into that this over the past year and a half, I think our staff members really have learned a lot more about themselves and their ability to teach students individually and to, you know, adjust on a dime and look at new ways for learning and explore how kids learn and those kinds of things, I think has been a result of us having to be so flexible and adapt, you know, and on the fly, really. You know, I think that as far as myself is concerned, I guess, you know, there was never a playbook for operating a school in a pandemic. And even though I've been a superintendent for 18 years, I felt like a first-year superintendent last year because there were just times you just not sure, you know, how to handle some situations. So, you know, one of the things I've learned too is your team and those around you are very important. And there's a lot of good ideas and that come from our staff and our students as well. We have to listen to each other about, you know, what we're facing and how we're dealing with things and try to work on those issues together.
When we look at this, I imagine one day the masks will go away. I imagine one day the fear will go away to a certain degree of this pandemic. But has school been forever changed? Or will one day, like most other things, it just fall back into the way it was in March of 2020?
No, I don't think there's any question. I mean, you take a look at Marion City Schools. I mean, we were always kind of moving towards more technology within our schools, but the pandemic is, again, that's another thing that our teachers really had to be forced to learn how to do, is deliver our lessons and deliver education with the more technology use. So I really think that you're going to see a lot more blended learning, a lot of what's called flipped classroom, where students are doing and using more technology as a part of their own learning. No, I definitely think that we, education has changed as a result, and hopefully it's changed for the better because of all the technology use that now our staff and students are used to.
You know, nobody, I don't think, would have ever prepared for a pandemic like this in 2020 and 2021. But do you think, and this goes for every office building as well as a grocery store, restaurant in the world, do you think we prepared? Do you think, you know, there are tornado drills, there are fire drills, there are things we prepare for. Do you think anybody prepared for anything like this catastrophically happening?
I would have to say no, Scott. I don't think anybody, you know, we've had, you know, pockets of, I guess, similar type of situations, whether it's a disaster or something along those lines. But in my, again, 18 years as a superintendent, I've never faced anything like it. Wasn't, you know, ever even had discussions about, hey, what do we do in the midst of, you know, a pandemic where we might have to go on lockdown and keep our kids out of school? I mean, we have always been, we always looked for ways to keep our kids in school, right? Now we had to find a way to keep our kids out of school and still be educated. So, no, I don't think there's any preparation. That, you know, if you ask what has changed, I think that as far as in the training for educators, there will be more emphasis on things like that. What are you going to do and how are you going to treat your classroom? How are you going to treat your district? What are you going to do to put measures in place to be prepared for those kinds of things. You know, I think, and I'll reckon back to Columbine. You know, I mean, look at how Columbine changed what we do and how we do school business. I mean, I remember before Columbine, you know, even as a teacher, I remember the front doors propped open to let air in. You know, we don't do that anymore. You know, our classrooms are locked, and we have numbers on our windows, and we do drills with the police to in the event that ever came about. So I would use that as an example, and I think we're probably going to have a lot more preparation in the future on what how you will handle a situation like COVID-19.
As far as Marion City Schools go, have there been any major changes in curriculum or what's offered in any of the buildings?
Well, you know, and that's a good question. I'm glad you asked that, Scott, because I think that, you know, for the most part, communities think that a school district really comes up with its own curriculum and develops that. In Ohio, we have state standards that we follow. I mean, there was a big to-do about Common Core standards and those kinds of things, and that was an emphasis on, you know, making sure that there was that the curriculum was similar taught across the country. In Ohio, we have our own standards. They are somewhat related to the Common Core. They have changed a little bit, but that's really where we get our curriculum. So curriculum basically is what is taught, how it's taught, and then how it's tested. So what's really left up to us as a school district is the middle part, how it's taught. You know, we are given standards that we have to teach, but how we teach it is up to us. So whether we use, you know, a program or we use technology to deliver those standards is really what the decisions we make about that as a district. So, you know, the curriculum, no, has not really changed at all, but the way we teach the curriculum is certainly has changed over even since in the past 4 years since we've been here. And I mean, we take a look at data and how our kids are doing, and if they're not being successful, then you know, how we teach it is really what we talk about here in the district is how can we change that? How can we do better? How can students be more successful? So, yeah, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked that. Maybe that clarifies some things about really, you know, who's responsible for the curriculum. And it's really set at the state level, but we're given flexibility in is how we teach it.
We also hear a lot when it comes to schools about teaching to the test. What is that, more of a myth, or is there truth to that?
No, there's certainly truth to that. I mean, and again, if the state sets the standards and that's the curriculum that you adopt, then those tests that we take, the state test, those tests that we develop locally are all geared towards assessing students' mastery of those standards. So, you know, teaching to the test, if the standards are part of the test, then yes, we you know, it's that part of it. I think what gets...
Nope, I think we lost Dr. Arusi there. Hopefully he'll call back in, because we still have some time here we can spend with him. Very enlightening conversation, though, when it comes to the pandemic as well as other things. Oh, I think this is him, thank goodness. Dr. Arusi, are you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't know what happened there. Just kind of dropped that. But just to finish that thought, yeah, I mean, I think that there's a... You know, what people get confused is that we only teach to the test, but that's not the case. I mean, we do educate the child. We do include the arts in those areas that aren't tested, and we do have social emotional learning, and all those kinds of things are not taught to the test. But in those core subject areas, you know, we teach the mastery of those standards. I hope that clarifies that.
What's the makeup of a Marion City School student in 2021?
The makeup of a Marion City Schools. I mean, you know, Marion City is a city that has high poverty. You know, we're still 100% free and reduced lunch here. So many of our families struggle, and so our students struggle somewhat. I mean, we are all very engaged in making sure our kids eat, making sure they have proper care during the day, making sure they have what they need at home. I mean, we have done so much more around the social emotional part of learning here at Marion City than most districts have to, because, you know, our students struggle sometimes, whether it's financially or health wise within their family. You know, obviously we have a lot of addiction in the community. here that you know is we feel the effects of that within our students, and so we have to have programming in place to be able to handle that. So that's I think you know typically what sets us apart. And we have students you know that don't have those issues and grow and prosper here in Marion City Schools as well. We have a variety of demographics with our students, and again that's a little bit different for us in how we have to adapt and adjust how we teach according to what our students' needs are.
Do you think there's ever a way to change that? I mean, it certainly hasn't always been that way in Marion City Schools. Or do you think open enrollment has forever changed that?
No, I don't think that. I mean, I think there. If you talk to parents about why you know they send their children to one place versus another, you'll get a variety of reasons. And sometimes it suits their needs better because you know grandma and grandpa live over here and that they provide you know some child care. I think that you know, I mean, I believe that the best way to get a community, you know, heading in the right direction and getting them out of poverty is to provide as many opportunities for our kids to be successful in life. And that's where in Marion City, we put a huge emphasis on trying to get kids into career pathways so that when they do graduate, they have the tools and the motivation necessary to go be able to get a good job and provide a good living for their families. I think the way out of poverty is, you know, educating our students and giving them the skills to be able to be productive members of society. I hope and pray that that's what we're doing here in Marion, and we see a shift in that.
What are you most proud of at this point, working, being employed, heading up Marion City Schools?
Yeah, you know, I always, you know, from being from Northeastern Ohio in the Youngstown area, it's a very similar situation there. I'm just really proud of this community over the last year and a half. And its resilience. Our students and our staff, families have really worked together. If you remember, Scott, we were delivering 30,000 lunches, or I'm sorry, 30,000 meals per week during the pandemic. I mean, I guess, you know, being able to support the community and being involved, I try to get involved as much as I possibly can in a bunch of community fundraisers. I mean, shoot, I sat in an ice bath for 3 minutes to help raise money for Kiwanis. So, but I appreciate those agencies working together. I'm very proud of Marion City Schools' involvement within the community. We're doing a lot more community service these days and helping to support even the downtown area. You know, our athletic teams are going downtown and cleaning up, you know, whenever they need to and helping in those areas. So I believe some of our students went, and I know that in Marion City they're trying to clean up some blight within the community, and our students are involved in that. I'm really proud of our Marion City Schools' relationship to the entire community.
Before we part ways, Dr. Arusi, as we head on here, how do you see the next month at this point? Do you foresee any changes? Do you foresee anything coming up because of more people being indoors, possibly more variants of this COVID-19, or the fact that the Popcorn Festival is going on with great attendance?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're prepared for whatever might happen. I mean, we can't predict exactly how much spread is going to occur. I think, you know, I think there's all indications that cases will be on the rise. Again, I think we're as well prepared as anybody around to handle an increase in cases. Hopefully, again, we don't have to go remote. But if we do, every kid has a laptop. We'll have our teachers are prepared to be able to deliver their lessons electronically should we do so. But we are situated because we're wearing masks. We've made some adjustments during lunchtime to separate students as much as possible. So I think we're prepared for anything. And, you know, let's hope, though, that we don't see as much increase in cases. And, again, I don't want to see kids get sick to the point where they're in the hospital. That would be something that we would have to adjust to again if that's the case.
Final question here. When the school year started, there was a lot of hubbub about wearing the masks. Has that cooled down from parents? And
not really. I still think, you know, you were Pleasant actually did, and I know in your opening you talked about Pleasant. They actually did mask mandate the entire buildings now. I know that they had some protests there. Jen Adams said she had a really good roundtable discussion the other day. You know, I would really like, hopefully, our communities can have civil conversations about these and really respect each other's opinions and why we're doing what we're doing. I mean, I listen to parents on a regular basis almost daily talk to me about, you know, why they feel like masks shouldn't be required. But then I have as many parents and families calling and saying we should be doing more, you know, that maybe we should be considering more spacing and things like that. So I think that, yeah, you know, we're definitely listening, but we have to make some of those decisions based on some of the information, particularly that we get from our health officials.
Do we know anything about Elgin at this point?
I just read this morning, I guess, in the Marion Star, I think Elgin really has not seen near the amount of cases for whatever reason that they've seen in the other districts. So I think Elgin will continue to allow for parental choice with their masks. But Lane has said on occasion, if they start to see an increase in cases, then they're going to be forced to come back to the table and maybe make some changes in that decision. I believe you said that quoted in the newspaper in the Star this morning.
Very interesting. Marion City School Superintendent Dr. Ron Arusi, thank you so much for coming on today. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate you having me.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Dr. Ron Arusi, we're going to break. Be back in 15 minutes.
A socialist. But actually, one of the first big socialists to run for president came from right here in Marion, Ohio.
Oh, yes, Norman Thomas.
Yes, and did you know Norman Thomas also sold ice